You're listening to the Luis Palau Legacy Library. May your heart be moved, as Luis's was, to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth. Here's Luis Palau.
You know, this is Father's Day. I hope you all of you guys remember it. But you know, tonight I want to talk about God wants to be your father. And I want to talk to all the guys and gals, especially, who are fatherless kids. They say that about 50% of Americans come from broken homes. I'm not going to ask for you to tell me if you come from a broken home, but many of you do come from broken homes, and God wants to speak to you. But I also have a message for those of you who have good dads, good fathers, and a good family, because God Almighty wants to be your father in heaven forever. God has no grandchildren. God only has children. Andrew had to become a child of God by his own repentance and faith, just like I did. My dad was a businessman in Argentina. He received Christ. I heard all about it, but I had to make my decision. Andrew is born into our family. There are four boys in our family, and he's number three. He had to make his own decision. It doesn't matter if your dad is a preacher or a pastor, your mother's a saint. It's a blessing, but you have to make your own decision. So, you know, I was in El Paso, Texas, a few years ago, and we were having a TV show, people calling in. And one night I was talking about drugs and about gangs and why kids go into them and so on. And a phone call came in, and there was a boy, 13 years old, and he said to me, "Mr. Palau, you were just talking about gangs. I'm in a gang, but we don't go around selling drugs or beating up on old ladies or anything like that." He said, "We have a different gang." And I said, "What's your gang?" He said, "It's a bunch of us boys whose dads have left our home, and we are protecting ourselves from bullies in the high schools and junior highs, and we need each other." And I said, "Is it all boys?" He said, "All boys." I said, "How many boys are there in your gang?" And he said, 400. This was in Las Cruces, New Mexico. I was in El Paso on TV. And I said, "What do you call the gang?" And they said, "We call ourselves the fatherless gang." And you know, some of you may not be in a gang, but your dad is gone. And in some cases, your mom. But tonight we're going to talk about fathers because I want to talk to you about God. One day I was in Portland, Oregon, and I was speaking in a church, and a guy came to talk to me afterwards. I was talking about God wanting to be your father. And he said to me, his name, I've got his name down, Dan. He is now 45 or 48. He said, "My dad left me and my mom when I was 2 years old. And he said, when I was seven, some guys began to abuse me. And he said, I let them do it because I was so desperate for affection and for love that I allowed it. I felt like this was love." Then he said, "When I got to be about 15, I said, no more. This is over." At 17, he said, one night, he went to the Portland Coliseum, which is our basketball arena, and he went to hear Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath or something. He said he was in the Coliseum, they turned off the lights, and he felt that there was a bad spirit in the Coliseum. And he said he'd never been to church, never read the Bible, his mother had nothing to do with God, and the dad, of course, was gone. And he said, "I felt a voice that I thought was God saying to me, get out of this place or you're going to go straight to hell." So he was 17, he left the Coliseum and didn't come back. And then a few weeks later, he saw publicity that said that a guy by the name of Luis Palau was going to speak. And he said, "I felt I should go in." He went in, he was converted to Christ, he was able to leave all the embarrassment and shame that he felt from the guys abusing him since he was a little boy, and he was changed. He introduced his daughter, 19-year-old, beautiful girl, going to college in Oregon. And you know, I thought of this, 400 boys in Texas and in New Mexico. A guy in Oregon, abused since he was a 7-year-old boy, all the way till he was 15. How many people, how many girls, how many guys, the father goes and they become victims of swines who invade the home, take advantage of them. And you know, you may be here tonight and you may be one of fatherless kids. But some of you, of course, come from good homes. I have a message for you too, but I want to start with the others. Kirk Franklin, have you heard him as a musician? Yeah, he's pretty good. He's an African-American friend of mine. We've worked together for 12 years. And one day he was telling his story, and he said that his dad abandoned the family right off the bat. Then his mother married, and the stepfather ended up in jail. And then one day when he was a young boy, he heard him say, he said, "Take this kid. I don't want him. I give him to you." And he gave Kirk Franklin to his grandma. And his grandma brought him up, but as a teenager, he rebelled. And then one day he was converted to Christ, and now he serves Jesus Christ in a beautiful way. So Kirk Franklin then was abandoned as a boy for good. And now, of course, he goes around talking and telling people all about Jesus Christ and how his life was changed. Let me read to you what God says for those of you who don't have a dad at home, for those of you who are really hurting, or even if you have a dad at home, but you don't yet know God as your father. Look at what Jesus said. "Don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." And then listen, in this little chapter in John chapter 14, I recommend it to all of you. 21 times, Jesus Christ talks about God the Father. The Father, my Father, your Father. The Father, my Father, your Father. Jesus Christ wants to make this point, and this was an amazing thing. He wants to be your Father, Jesus Christ says. And look at what it says. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing, and greater things than these you will do, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Let me read you just one or two more, and I hope it sinks into your heart, because what I say is not very important, but what God says is supremely important, okay? Yeah, listen to this. Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep what I command, and I will ask the Father." And listen to this. "I will give you another comforter, a counselor, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither knows him nor sees him. But you know him because he lives with you and he will be in you." Let me tell you three things that God wants to do for you, especially those of you who do not have a father at home because he walked away. In a few cases, you don't have a dad because he died. That was my case. I was 10 years old when my father died, so I was brought up without a dad. And you know, no men came around. Now, we went to church, and there were some good guys in the church. I knew them as a family. But no man ever talked to me, you know. And as a teenager, I wanted to know a bunch of stuff. But before he died, my father left me one thing when I was about 6 years old. One day, I went to his office in the morning at home, and he was on his knees. And it was cold. There was no central heating in Argentina in those days. So he had a blanket over his shoulders. He was on his knees, and I said, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he said, "Luis, I'm reading the Word of God, the Bible." And then he said to me this, which I never forgot. And when I became a teenager, it helped me so much, and I want to give it to you tonight so you won't forget it, whatever your age may be. My dad said, "Luis, I'm reading the book of Proverbs in the Bible." And he said, "When you grow up, read a chapter a day, because Proverbs has 31 chapters, one for every day of the month." And he said, "Read it every day, and you'll know what it is to be a man, and you'll know how to succeed, and you'll know how to please God." And then my dad said, "And also read the Gospel of John. If you read the Gospel of John, Luis, you will know all about God. And if you read the book of Proverbs, you'll know how to be a man, because the book of Proverbs talks about love and honesty and sex and marriage and good, everything that you want to know as a guy." But you know, the most important thing is this. First, God wants to be your heavenly Father. And the Bible says that you will be adopted into the family of God. Adopted into the family of God. You know, he even changes your name. Many of the characters in the Bible, when they turn to God, God changed their name just to express that even your name can change, because you change so much when Jesus Christ comes into your life. The Bible says, to all those who receive him, who believe in his name, he gives them power to become children of God. So when you receive Christ, your name will change to a child of God. And until you receive Christ, you're not a child of God. We are created by him, but we're not children of God. We are creation of God. Big difference. You become a child of God the moment you open your heart to him. And so the Bible puts it this way, that to all those who receive him, tonight in a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. You receive him into your life, who believe in his name. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, born of the Blessed Virgin Mary as a man, with no human father, but the Spirit of God, and that he lived a perfect holy life, and that he died on the cross for you and for me, then if you believe in him and you receive him, you become a child of God. And for all of you guys and girls, young women, and some of you may be middle-aged, and now you're an older person yourself, and your dad left you years ago, and you saw your mom cry, and you felt the loneliness, and you felt the absence of your dad. And sometimes you hate the guy, and you wish you could do something to him. But the Lord says, look, I will forgive you all your sins. I want you to forgive your father for walking away. One day I was in Scotland, and I was talking this way to Scottish kids, young people, and one gal came up afterwards. She was 16, and she said, Mr. Palau, you said that we have to forgive our father. I just can't forgive him. He took off 3 years ago. He went to Saudi Arabia to work in the oil rigs, and he left my mom and us three girls. There was no boys in the family. And she said, I see my mom crying at night, and we miss our dad. And he's not even sending money to help the family, and we're living off the government dole. And she said, I can't forgive him. And that night, she'd given her heart to Christ. So I said, did you receive Christ tonight? She said, yes, I did. I said, did God forgive you all your sins? She said, yes, I believe it. I received him. I'm forgiven. I said, okay, I want you to do this. Write a letter to your dad in Saudi Arabia and say, Dad, you left us alone. You abandoned us. I've been mad at you. I hate you for hurting mom and us girls. But tonight, I received Jesus Christ. And Dad, by this letter, I want you to know God forgave me my sins, and I forgive you for the sins you've committed against our family. And so I said, write to see what your dad says. About 4 weeks later or so, I'm back in the States, in America, and I get a letter from this girl. And she says, Mr. Palau, you won't believe it. I wrote the letter like you said, and I got no answer for about 4 weeks. And then suddenly she said, one day there's a knock on the front door, and there's my dad. And he walked into the house. My mom was astonished. He fell on his knees in the living room. All four of us surrounded our dad, and he began to cry. And he said, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I've been a horrible person. But your letter, he said to the girl, your letter touched my heart. If you forgive me, I want to give my heart to God, and I want to be the best father Scotland ever saw. And his life was changed. So, you know, if you receive Christ tonight, you won't be an orphan anymore because you'll be in the family of God. You won't be an orphan because God will be your father. And I can tell you guys, my father didn't leave our home. He died, and that's why I didn't have a dad. But to me, God, my father, has been my father all my life. And when I read the Bible, God speaks to me by the Holy Spirit. I remember J.I. Packer, an Englishman, said, I've never yet seen the face of my Lord Jesus Christ, but he has written me a letter. And the letter is this book called the New Testament in the Bible. This is the letter of God. Yes. And if you are a fatherless kid, even if you're older now, God says to you, tonight, I want to become your heavenly father. If you give me your heart, I will change you. I will love you. I will protect you. The second thing is this that I want to tell you. What relief there is. You know, when you receive Jesus Christ, what happens? Your sins are all forgiven, like Andrew told. Andrew took off, you know. Even though he was brought up in the things of God, and maybe some of you here have been in church, and maybe you just turned your back on God. You forgot all about what you learned from your mom and the Sunday school teachers. But the Lord says to you tonight, look, I've been patient with you. I love you. I've extended my hands to you. I'm calling you. I know your name. Come back, come back. And the Bible says if you come running to Jesus Christ, all your sins will be forgiven because that's why he died on the cross. Yes. And you know what the book of Romans says? Listen to this. Therefore now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Some people's sins are very dramatic. Oh, you drink 12 beers and you're a real man, you know, going around. Oh, you take a shot of drugs. Oh, this is really tough. You know, this is real manhood. Oh, you go out with some girls that are not your wife. Ooh, what a man. But you know, in fact, the guilt, the conscience, the shame, the dishonor of God, the hurting of other people, that's not funny. And Jesus Christ on the cross had to die for the sins of us all. The Bible says, look at the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And if you're here tonight and you've been a rebel and you walked away from God and you've cursed God and maybe you've even been a professor at the university and you've mocked believers and you stole the faith of some of your students, if you repent tonight, God will forgive you, professor, if you've hurt the spiritual life of other people. The other day, my secretary sent me an email just this week. A professor at Cambridge University in England, he read a book that I wrote called God is Relevant. And he was a mocker. He was an atheist, supposedly. He attacked all the believing students at Cambridge that he had. He told me the story himself. And he said, I mock believers. I claim to be an atheist. And then I had a breakdown because I realized I couldn't live without God. My mother-in-law hated my guts. My wife was about to leave me. And he read the book and he repented and he said, oh God, forgive me not only for blaspheming you, but hurting thousands of my students whose faith I destroyed. He was forgiven. He's a new man. He's teaching at Cambridge, but he's teaching stuff that is correct by the Bible and the Word of God. So if you're here tonight and you've allowed some professor to destroy your faith, forget it. Pray for the professor, but you follow God and forget all the atheists in this world who live a miserable life. And they put on a show that they're happy. They're the most miserable person. You know what the Bible says? When you're without God, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. It doesn't matter what degrees you have. If you don't know God, you're spiritually dead. But a little old lady in the Andes in Bolivia can know God and enjoy life, even though she has no education, because Jesus Christ transforms people by the power of God and the goodness of God. Yes, sir. Absolutely true. So God says to you, first, I will adopt you into my family. In Romans 8, it says, we are adopted into the family of God. Hey, that's a major thing in your life. And tonight, I'm delighted that I have a few minutes so that God can touch your life right here and right now. The second thing that will happen, and it happens at the same time, by the way, you receive Christ, you're forgiven. The second thing that happens is this. God comes to indwell you. That means he comes to live within you. And believe me, the adventure begins when Christ comes in. It's an adventure. I made my commitment. My dad had been dead for 2 years when I was 12 years old. A counselor sat me down, asked me the right questions, showed me a Bible verse that's a promise from God. If you confess with your lips, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And at 12 years of age, I became a child of God. And you know, I didn't realize it at the time. But that night, the Holy Spirit came into my life. God came into my life. And whoever you are tonight, I'm here to tell you what God says in his word. It says these specific words. Don't you know, listen to this, that your body becomes the temple of God and that the Spirit of God comes into you? And it says, the temple of God is sacred and you are that temple. So you see, when you receive Christ, it isn't only that God says, okay, because Jesus gave his blood on the cross, because you repented of your sin, I forgive you. He does. But the amazing thing is this, which I think is almost as big as being forgiven. God comes to live within you. Listen, this is not a bunch of baloney. This is reality. Galatians 2:20 says this, listen carefully. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not I, it's Christ living in me. And you know, when you receive Christ, whether you're a 12-year-old boy, a 22-year-old girl, a 40-year-old dad or mom, the Holy Spirit of God comes in and you become a new person. And Christ lives in you. And that's what gives you the power to stop fooling around. You're still tempted. Yes, yes, yes. Temptations will come. But there's a big difference between temptation and sin. Temptation is the inclination to evil. Sin is when you actually give in to temptation. And yes, we all stumble here and there, but you will receive power. And in Acts chapter 1, listen to this. Jesus Christ, just before he went back into heaven, when he went up into the clouds and two angels came down as he went up to heaven, he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when you receive Jesus Christ, like tonight, in 10 minutes when I give you the invitation, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and you will receive spiritual power. Don't go looking for power in occultism. Don't go looking for power in foolish stuff that is dark. The Bible says that there are two kingdoms in this world and we're all in one or the other. The kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of Satan. Anything that is satanic is occultic, is hidden, and is dark. Jesus put it this way, remember? He said, the thief, which is the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life and have it in abundance. And you know, look how many people Satan has destroyed. You guys who are fatherless kids, remember, Satan comes to steal. He stole your dad and convinced him that he should leave your mother and leave you. He comes to kill. He killed the love between your dad and your mom. That's satanic work. So he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He destroyed your home. But it doesn't have to destroy you. Because if you come to Christ, he will come into your life. And you know God is a good God and a good father. And a good father. If your father was not good, you come to the real father of all fathers. God is patient. God is kind. God will protect you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit becomes your counselor. He becomes your guide. He becomes your teacher. He answers your prayer. The Holy Spirit becomes your psychologist, so to speak. He comes into your life and he gives you love and joy and peace. Hey, this is real. And patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and love and self-control, and all the temptations that we all have. Even old guys like me have temptations. But the Holy Spirit, he gives you power. And you will be a man of God and a woman of God because God wants to take over in your life if you will let him. And I'm here to beg you in the name of Jesus Christ, give your life to him and let him make you a child of God. Have you heard of Matt Redman? Have you guys heard of him? He's an English kid. He's a 35-year-old, 36. He was a boy. He tells his story lately. His dad was an alcoholic, beat up on his mother big time in London when he was a little boy. And he would abuse Matt when he was a little guy. One day, the family said, Matt, your father just died. Years later, he found out he actually had committed suicide. The mother remarried. She married another alcoholic who also beat up on the mom and abused Matt as a teenage boy. One day, when he was 10 years old, actually, the mother, for some reason, brought him to a campaign like this one, a festival in the inner city of London, in a football stadium. And Matt was only 10, and I was speaking that night that God wants to be your father, that he's a good father, that he will take care of. And Matt told us many times, he's got it on video, he said, that's what I was looking for, a real father, a good father, someone who would replace my two fathers who were no good. Matt became a child of God. Now he's 35. And you know, when his stepfather would come into his room to abuse him, after he would leave, he would cover himself with his blankets and so on. And he would write little notes to the Lord. And some of those notes that he would write to God are some of the songs that we sing and we don't even know. We're singing the songs that Matt Redman wrote as a teenager when he was being beaten up and abused. And you know, now he's a fabulous man of God. He's a dad. God is a good God. I beg you today that you will surrender to God your Father by repenting and receiving Jesus Christ. And then the last thing I'm going to tell you, there's a thousand things to say about God the Father, is this. Not only does he adopt you into your family and gives you a new name, not only does he give you the Holy Spirit who becomes your guide, your counselor, your indwelling psychiatrist. God becomes through the Holy Spirit the guide of your life, the teacher, so that you can know God. He answers your prayers. He answers your prayers. But the last thing I'm going to mention is this. He gives you eternal life. And that's why I love this passage that I read to you. When my father died, my mom read it to me because I was quite desperate. And the Bible says this. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus says. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And then Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again and take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. God will be the father that your human father never was. For those of you who have a good dad, for those of you who have a good dad, you still need your heavenly father because your human dad gave you your body and he gave you your soul by transmission. But your spirit can only come alive when God the Father comes into your life through Jesus Christ. So you will become a new man, a new woman. A few months ago, I was in the Oregon coast, and we had 57 teenagers. And I asked them to come together, and I said to them, now, you guys are young. You're teenagers. Some were junior high, some high school. I said, what if we get together 20 years from today here in Oregon in the beach? What will your life be like 20 years from today? And I said, I'll tell you this. If you walk with Jesus Christ and follow what he tells us in the Bible, 20 years from tonight, you'll sit down and say, Luis, I'm married, I'm happy, I've got kids, I'm walking with God, my life is a blessing. But if you disobey Jesus Christ and you don't give your life, you're going to sit around 20 years from tonight and say, I've made a hell out of my life, I've messed up, my life is miserable, I am empty. Because if you have Jesus Christ, you have life. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are in death. And so, tonight, I want to invite you all who have never made this commitment to give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you want to know God as your Father right now, don't delay another day. Some of you are here because you are friends. Some of you because you are curious. Some because God brought you. He has a plan for your life. But you have to, first of all, repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your evil behavior, your sins, and then believe in Jesus Christ. The second thing you have to do is to receive Jesus Christ. When you receive Christ, you become a child of God and God becomes your Father. So, thirdly, trust Jesus Christ and obey him in everything he tells you in the Word of God. And you know something? I told you, I was converted when I was 12. Now I'm an old grandpa. I'm 77, and I'll tell you this, listen carefully, it gets better every year of your life when you have Jesus Christ. It gets better and better and better. And I'm glad you're cheering, but you know something? Now comes the moment of decision. Whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant, an atheist or whatever you may call yourself, God expects you that you humble yourself before him. That you repent and believe in him. Yes, do it right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And all of you who tonight are ready to surrender to Christ, I'm going to ask you, men, women, girls, mamas, grandmas, boys and girls, if God spoke to you tonight, it's your night to surrender to Christ. And this is the most solemn moment in this whole party This is the moment when God has been preparing you to surrender to Christ. So I'm going to ask that everybody bow their heads before God. Let's have no talking, no moving. This is the most solemn moment in the life of many young guys and many young women. Let's talk with God. This is a big moment. God is here. God is speaking to you. God loves you with an everlasting love. But he also demands, repent of your sins. Give up anything that needs to be given up that's wrong. And receive Christ into your heart. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Way back there, 200 yards away. You all up front. If God has spoken to your heart, pray to him this prayer. And as you pray, remember, God says to you, I stand at your door and knock. If you've heard my voice and open your heart, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. In other words, the party starts tonight if you will receive Jesus Christ. I hope every one of you does it. And if you drifted away from God tonight, right now, is the moment to come back to him and surrender as a man or as a woman. Let's pray. Let me hear you pray. All of you who sincerely feel it in your heart, pray this prayer. Oh God, my Father, you have spoken to my heart tonight. And I really need you in my life. Father, I want you to be my Father. I want Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I want to become a temple of God and receive the Holy Spirit. Oh God, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. I open my heart to you, Lord Jesus. I surrender my will to you. And I will serve you, Lord Jesus. I will obey you till I see you face to face. Thank you, Father. Now I'm yours forever because Christ lives in me. And I thank you in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hi, this is Wendy Palau. As someone who got to spend precious time with Luis, or Papa, as I called him, I can tell you that his heart for evangelism was contagious. I hope hearing his voice and message today stirred that same passion in you. Luis loved to remind us that evangelism isn't about waiting for a special calling. It's a call for all of us today. That call went out 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And we take that literally. And we're on a mission to share the gospel with every person on the planet. Will you join us? Will you pray for us? You can visit luispalau.org to help spread the hope of Jesus further and faster than ever before. Thank you for listening today, and God bless you.